In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
All right, and getting into the shit, Becker Loco is on this program, sitting in for the full program. Phoenix Kaliter is Phoenix Kaliter is sick, going in the past 3 days. It's starting to lighten up, but Phoenix Kaliter is still sick. Lisa Loco, I don't know. I've had a tough time contacting Lisa Loco. Catherine Loco is busy. Tough time contacting Catherine Loco. Becker Loco is here on the program, and we're just gonna jump right into the fucking shit. It is ridiculous, huh?
I laughed. Sorry.
Oh, and this one, this is a little action packed. Now, this individual. Now, way back in old wine cellar, we're talking like early 2013, like we've gone over Cindy Jacobs before. Cindy Jacobs is quite a character, right? She believes that prophetic words are going to be released over the South. Now, this is a pre-up, because Cindy Jacobs is back, but maybe just a bit of a reminder of fucking the kind of ideas that Cindy Jacobs puts out there.
And so the Lord says to George Washington, putting an anointing, that he's going to give you a platform to call leaders together to see healing come. And the Lord would say to the South of the United States, I am putting an anointing of restoration and reconciliation upon you. And the Lord would say, it is time where I am going to begin to heal the ancient wounds. And I am going to move in such a way on the South that it's going to be a racist-free zone.
All right. Cindy Jacobs saw this coming in 2015, that the South is going to become a racist-free zone. Jesus told her that shit. Can't tell her no fucking different.
That God will even use to heal the North, says the Lord. And the Lord speaks to this.
He's even going to heal the North. What are you shitting me? Yes, he's got it.
State of Georgia. God says to Georgia, you are on my mind. And I am going to use what I do there. In fact, the Lord says from the State House, there is going to be a tremendous change. You're going to see a turning away from the past and a building a new future. I'm going to give an economic plan for the state of Georgia that is going to begin to shake off the poverty zones that have been even in the city of Atlanta and some of the other cities. God says, I'm going to begin to increase commerce into this state, says the Lord. The Lord says, look to even cities like Savannah. God says, in the city of Savannah, I'm getting ready to rebuild the commercial sectors in that area.
Because you know how Yahweh is all about fucking commercial sectors. I saith upon thee, buildeth thine factory. Like that, all that shit was in that silly book. All of that. The dog even disagrees. This shit.
God shows me that there's things having to do with places that have gone down and down and down through the years, but there is a revitalization project that is going to come, a re-energizing even into the downtown areas of many of these cities. There's going to be a if it makes any sense, a re-urbanization.
Ah, the re-urbanization. I'm sure she's about to define that right now.
That is going to come, and the Lord says it won't be gentrification, but...
Ah, it won't be gentrification. It's going to be some whole new shit. I got it. Lace me up, Cindy.
It will be a building up of people that pulling them out of poverty and bringing them to a place of dignity, says the Lord. And I'm going to anoint the state Congress to begin to implement policy, and even the governor of the state of Georgia. I'm getting ready to shift some things. I'm getting ready to issue some apologies for past hurts and pains, and it's going to bring a great healing of the divides in this nation. And God says, from Georgia, you're going to begin to see a new wave of the power of the Holy Spirit, first from the church, but it's going to then change the nation.
All right, so I mean, the best that I can pull out of that incoherent pile of shit is that you will not be gentrified, but the Lord is going to give you ways for you necros to earn your own reparations.
You'll be Jesusified.
Jesusified? Fucking Jesus moving into your neighborhood. There's nothing better than that. I mean, look at every group of peoples on the planet. When Jesus showed up, things got awesome. Now, Cindy Jacobs is back. All right, now that was from 2015, and clearly you can check the numbers. Everything she said came true, right? Fact-based facts. Now she's back, and there's something about the word Jews, just because of, in particular, like, Anglo-normative, that particular brand of anti-Semitism, and I do understand we're using that word colloquially and not by what Semitism actually is, but colloquially, this Anglo-normative anti-Semitism makes the word Jews uncomfortable. All right, so, this respected prophet, as she was preaching up in New Jersey, and like she said, that the Lord is going to heal the North too, and she had a little prophecy, all right? She had herself a little prophecy, I tell you what. All right, lace me up again, Cindy.
First, you about us. If you are born again, according to Romans 11:17, it says, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you Gentiles, that's us, being like a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them to share with them the rich root of the olive tree. Now that's, again, typology. What is symbology? What does that mean? It means that what the Jews have, we have.
See, just Jews. It could be like, oh yeah, I went down to a pizza parlor. It was owned by Jews, and I got 5 pizzas. And it's like, oh, you said Jews. It is. It's uncomfortable. All right. So what the Jews
have?
Was
there a concern though?
Huh?
Was there a concern like she was worried before that we didn't have what the Jews had? What is that?
No, the Jews have way cooler toys.
Right. Jewer toys. We now have what the Jews have. What does that mean?
We got our own menorahs. right? My dreidel has Wi-Fi. Like, what are you shitting me? We have what the Jews have. I'll dance it back about 6 seconds, give her a little running start.
Symbology. What does that mean? It means that what the Jews have, we have. However, we have more when we're in Christ, because the Holy Spirit is inside us, empowering us to do the good works we're called to do.
All right, so we have more than they have because we have an imaginary friend telling us to go harass people in front of abortion clinics. Good works. Good works. All right, continue on. Cindy Jacobs has more.
Amen. And so I want you to get excited about this, you know, because, you know, I mean, I know I was in China and a lot. We were talking about the Jews of China and how
See, we were talking about the Jews. Like, it's not just me. Can do you feel it when someone says that word?
The Jews of China.
The Jews of China, which sounds like a great action movie. I'd watch it. The Jews of China has fantastic motorcycle chases. All right, we'll give her a little running start.
No, I mean, I know I was in China and a lot. We were talking about the Jews of China and how the blessing came, and we were tracing some of the Jewish history of China and so forth. But I want to say to you,
the Jewish history of China, you know what? A Hotep would love to hear her talk about that. I got to give it a running start again. I keep stopping it.
Blessing came, and we were tracing some of the Jewish history of China and so forth. But I want to say to you that one of the things I believe that's going to bring a great harvest of Jews is the...
Who doesn't want a great harvest of Jews? Basically, oh, you having the pain? Yeah, Phoenix Kalita's having the histoplasmosis flare-up right now. That's Cindy Jacobs talking about a great harvest of Jews. Which, I mean, hey, see, climate change can't stop that. The Jew crops are still growing.
One of the things I believe that's going to bring a great harvest of Jews is the Christians becoming so profoundly wealthy. And I'm not going to read it to you out of Romans 11, but it goes on and it talks about that. That it's going to make them jealous. The wealth and the riches that we're able to attain is going to make them jealous. You think?
Yep, going to be some jealous Jews. They're going to be down with OPP.
Fuck the love of Christ, I guess.
They're down with other people's prophecies. I tell you what.
I feel like she just crucified my brain.
She did.
Like, there's like nails pounded in there. Good God.
Right through the ears. Like, she dropped so many great, wonderful, classic lines in, what, 108 seconds. That's all she needs. 108 seconds. Didn't even get through the whole thing. I just got to 85 seconds. I don't even...
Your poverty's gonna make a Jew jealous. Come off it. No, we are meant to prosper. Why? Because they understand in their culture that obedience to God brings blessing.
Basically, the Jews get money, so we need to get money so the Jews will want to come on our side. And then for some reason, if I understand it right, they convert all the Jews to being Christians like them, and then the world ends and... fucking somebody blows a damn whistle and there's a rapture or some shit. I think I nailed it.
Oh my God.
Okay. Still, action-packed episode. Despite my tone of voice, action-packed episode. Pastor James David Manning. Now, I think I know why he's taken this particular route of misogyny against a white woman as a black man. I think I know why he's doing it, because he sided up hard with Alex Jones, and he's the type of cat, like, I know he reads comment sections because he's beefed with other black content creators, like not really the left, but like with neoliberal Democrat, you know, black content creators, because he reads the comment sections. He checks out other people's, you know, like podcast and whatnot and YouTube streams. And I think that he's probably seen people calling him a coon, a Tom and whatnot, for how he sided up with Alex Jones. And the way, like, if you look at those episodes, like, look at the videos or even listen to the audio of the stuff he did with Jones. He was on there the first Monday of every month for a while. And he was just basically rhetorically buck dancing for Jones. So I think now it's like he's trying to get his get back and trying to, you know, simplistically speaking, get his black card back, if you will, by flexing on Kellyanne Conway. The way he is, which his voice and delivery make it bizarre. When I found the clip, I was like, holy fuck, I can't not play this. This is James Manning doing what I think is trying to flex on I kind of want to say like a socially or politically weaker white person to try to act like he wasn't cooning the whole time with Jones.
I have treated the altar of God as a sacred place and should be looked upon as such. Now, the Oval Office is not necessarily sacred, but certainly special, and should be given the highest kind of respect. I simply want to go back to the Kellyanne Conway photo of her on the sofa, on her knees, whatever.
And, you know, and it, like in that photo, I mean, it looks all kinds of fucking creepy and weird. And there's all sorts of, well, like some folks are just, you know, make the generic predictable pornography joke, if you will, or like someone made I don't know who the hell it was. I think it might have been Phoenix that said, I mean, you look at the way she is, you know, like kicked up on there, doesn't really care about the sort of gendered respectability politics with the way she's sitting, you know, the feet up on the couch, messing around with the telephone, and it's because you can get comfortable around the help. Like, they're just there to do whatever their chores are while you just sort of relax, you know, play some Words with Friends or whatever the hell she's doing.
That was my first impression.
Yeah, let's boobadoop. Here we go. No, give a little dance back, a couple seconds. All right.
Go back to the Kellyanne Conway photo of her on the sofa, on her knees, with her dress jacked up and her legs wide open.
Now that's and there you're playing just right against facts. I'm looking at the image right now. This is not a Facebook Live, it's all audio, and I'm looking at the image right now, and no, that's just how short that skirt is. You know, I mean, it's fucking climate change and she's in the swamp. It's fucking hot, you know, like fucking. So that's just how short that skirt or dress or, you know, that garment is. All right.
And go ahead and call her a stringy head slut. This is one of the ugliest, vilest things I've ever seen.
No, it's not, nigga. No, it's not. Like, as homophobic as you are, no, he's lying. As far as, like, his perspective of what he would find to be vile, absolutely not. Being hyperbolic for the audience. And then, like, I see what you're doing. You're trying to say stringy-haired slut, so as if that's going to erase all the buck dancing you did with Jones. That's not going to work. Why are you flexing on a woman for that?
In such a sacred place, and Tribulation Trump is standing there, and Amorosa is standing there.
See that? Let's dance that back. See, that was at 43 seconds. Now let's run it back toward the beginning again.
Should be looked upon of God as a sacred place, and should be looked upon as such. Now, the Oval Office is not necessarily sacred, but certain.
The Oval Office is not necessarily sacred. Now let's go back here again.
Place and Tribulation Trump is standing there and Amorosa seen in such a sacred place. And
it's not really a sacred place, but it's such a sacred place. I'm looking at the time on that 37 second difference to where he changed whether or not it was a sacred place or not. These people don't give a shit what they're saying. They don't believe their own words. All right, here we go.
Tribulation Trump is standing there, and Amorosa is standing beside, and all them Hamite men are standing there, you know, getting erections. I've never...
Yeah, that's what's happening. Somehow he can tell that, which I love how the most homophobic folks, like, just, I have to comment on what I assume is going on with their penises right now. I believe that the Lord has engorged them. Don't you? Fucking Christ.
I you know, it shows you the level of demonic spirits. Yeah. I don't blame Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, demonic sexual demonic spirits. Because redundant.
Andre for that. I blame Tribulation Trump.
See, again, like, what are you saying? Is she a stringy-haired slut, or do you not blame her for that? Which one is it? Is it sacred? Is it not sacred? Are they Hemite men with erections? I don't know. Here we go.
Because he's a demon. Yes, and obviously he's having sex with her. And she probably just feels like, you know, I can be like this around him because I think he likes me that way.
That's what's going on. Like, he's just freestyling. And I see what the funk you're doing.
This is the ugliest slut I've ever seen. And they're very close, Conway and Trump. This is an ugly, stringy-haired slut.
Tacky. Tacky. See, and it is hard not to laugh when he's saying it because of his voice. Like, he is fucking, like, Cookie Monster on Jesus Juice, big time.
Well, and it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, just an absolute cartoon. All right, so I had one. Oh, yeah, that I should have told you this before you went over all the show notes. We don't always hit all the stories.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm actually just going to do a quick look at it with the, because I think I want to just upload the video and just link it so folks can check it out themselves. Because I want people to see the video because the news reporter was cracking me up on this thing. So investigative unit, a parish boss was suspended for using the N-word. All right, so this person's name is Barbara Vale, known as Babs, in the East Feliciana Parish, and has been an employee for the parish for 31 years, and tonight her career's in jeopardy when this news outlet went to question her about it, the news outlet WBRZ, and and they she slammed the door shut and broke our microphone. I watched the video. Every time she was going in a door, the news reporter would put the microphone right where the door would close on it. They knew what the fuck they were doing. They were just getting good video clips. And, police and jurors told the investigative unit this week that messages that Vale admitted to sending to another employee became public. Messages that refer to an African-American employee who worked as the parish secretary as the N-word. Employees say the parish secretary was well liked by all, but she abruptly quit her parish job 2 weeks ago. All right, so like a little quote from one of the messages, we got to find out a way to make her quit or something. Yeah, you're right, but the nigger got to go. Read her LinkedIn account. All right, so like this stuff like that, and in the news report from WBRZ, once I figure out how to get this video downloaded and uploaded, like it's really tough to get this one. Like folks can see the shots of the tweets that they have up. I just wanted to get to that one, and the way I get to these stories in my again, like I've been telling folks for the past few months, like how I do my show notes, parts of it, and you know, I have a Google.News thing, and you can set up your own keywords that'll come right into your news. And, of course, I have sex workers' rights, mountaintop removal mining. I have a rapist cop. I have cop rapes inmate. I have N-word as one word. I have N-space word, and I have N-dash word, which is how I get stories like this. And this one also crossed up with another one. I have racist white woman, because you'll always get racist white man stories. Those will go everywhere. I think a lot of racist white woman stories go under the radar. So I catch those too, like a vicious one that we got. And I think the only other person that covered this one was Gusty Renegade, which is not very, I don't think is very productive coverage, was one white woman down there in California, and I can't remember if they were in Hollywood or Los Angeles, and she's just straight, like, beat the shit out of this Asian woman, and, like, telling her to go back to her country, and, I mean, beat the shit, like, there was a lot of blood on that ground, she fucked her up. And then, guess who else covered it? Alex Jones did a quick segment on it to say that it was fake. That it was fake news. Of course. All right, dancing it forward. What in the holy heck darn done happened? All right. And then, I mean, another one, very similar story, right? A student got suspended after being called the N-word and other racial slurs. And that, that headline leaves out part of it where, the kid was calling him nigger and, you know, threatening him and whatnot. And then he, grabbed the kid and, threw him to the ground. I wouldn't say slammed him. Like, it was barely a football tackle. You know, so that kid got suspended. Not a very big story, but it did make the notes. Oh, you're over there making beats? I'm going to switch over to my Google Hangouts video so I can see. Is that on your end?
Yeah, it is. It's something outside.
That is hardcore. What is that?
If I'm not mistaken, that is Ross. Building me some garden boxes, I think.
I don't have any.
He's garden. Earning his keep.
Oh, no, you laugh like me. You have my same laugh tone.
What, me?
That's gangster. Yeah, I just heard it. You did the... No. It is a villainous laugh.
Well, then, good. I'll keep my kids scared.
It is. It's that laugh that comes from knowing your oppressor fell in a mud puddle today. It's like
outstanding. Oh, I wish.
Like that's how we were. Like we were watching the you know, and of course, like I think all these King Kong movies are Beckettarian propaganda. And but you know, I like action. I like seeing, you know, people running away from stuff and screaming. And just a great part in the movie, you know, these people, they're invading Skull Island. You don't need to be there with your helicopters. And as they're flying along, something comes into view and a tree is flying at them that Kong threw at them and just smashes right into their helicopter. And that was my first very audible laugh in the theater. And I think my fellow theater goers, they knew what was up. All right, it's going to be an interesting episode with that background sound. That is really picking up.
I can, let me go close the door. Good God.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
All right, while I take a look over here, so some folks came out. Doobadoo, skip, bop, flibbity doo. Ooh. So, hundreds of people gathered in the cold, Monday night in front of the Barclays Center to honor six black trans women killed in the first 2 months of 2017, organized by Trans Women of Color Collective in collaboration with the New York chapters of Black Lives Matter and the rapist group Black Youth Project 100. And the vocal queerency, the crowd rallied to deliver the message, not one more, death of a trans black woman. Now, Lourdes Ashley Hunter, the executive director of the Trans Women of Color Collective, told BKLYNER, that must be Brooklyner or something, before the event that it was organized to raise awareness for the murders of black trans women and to call to action black cisgender people whose gender identities matches the sex they are assigned at birth to help end transphobia and state-sanctioned violence against black trans women. I'll stop it there. I don't post a lot, like, saying, you know, like, as far as, like, social network posts, like Trans Lives Matter, something like that, because I really want to, like, articulate a thought, right, when I'm talking about, so I don't want it to just be a one or two sentence thing. And finally, I just made a post basically saying that I don't post about this a lot, because I think it should be easy. But I guess it's not that easy to articulate. And so what I'm gunning for is, how about you just get on the side that saves lives, right? Because, like, challenging their womanhood and doing what you pretend is debating their womanhood, that's not saving lives. That's getting people murdered. Debating their womanhood is what gets them murdered. That's a post I made more recently, a very short, mm-hmm. short post. And, you know, and I had riffed about this before, how... getting into this particular era of independent content creating. Like, I started out in the atheist spaces, which is our inherently white atheist spaces, to, you know, like, oh, I want to talk about more black atheist spaces, or I want to talk about more so, like, spaces with folks that identify as feminist and whatnot, and then it's like, but then, you know, you're like, yeah, but what about, like, sex workers' rights and trans women? So then you got to get away from the SWERFs and TERFs, which tend to always be the same people. And then, you know, so, like, and then we're here, we move a little forward, we're like anti-capitalism, anti-imperialism, that whole business. And some people quit fucking with me at certain steps along the way, while other people came on like, ah, we get down with that. We like those ideas. And one of the people that had been coming along was, his internet name is Wiley Chameleon. I doubt that he's wild, and I'm not convinced that he is a chameleon at all. I think he's probably a human. And he got in the long form post about trans women's rights and just, you know, getting on the side that saves lives, no matter what you think or how well you can articulate, get on the side that saves lives. And he just wanted to debate the existence of their womanhood. And it reached a point where, like, he really had no argument. He just doesn't think trans women are women, but he doesn't want to just say that. Because he's, you know, like, he knows the space. He's been following my content, though he doesn't comment very often. And then he just started being antagonistic, and I fucking, you know, after interacting with this cat for, since 2012, yeah, 5 years, I just blocked him, you know, just chucked that 5 years in the trash, because you're saying the words that get people murdered. And then, like, shortly after I blocked him, like, you know, several of these, black trans women stories getting murdered, like, several of those stories popped up in quick succession. And then that's what made me, think to make that short post, where it's like, this debating shit is why they're dying. Like, on an old Wine Cellar episode, I have a clip of, Laverne Cox talking about a time that she was, standing at a crosswalk wanting to cross the street, and a man that would be classified as black and a man that would be classified as Latino came up to her to want to hit on her. And then they started, and then they looked at her and looked closer, and then they started arguing with each other if she was a nigga or a B word. Right. And then she realized that they had got someone into arguing with each other over that, that she was just stressing, waiting to get across that street, because that argument over, like, is you a woman or not, is what gets you killed, right? Because if they come to some consensus before you get away from them, they just might jump you and murder you, you know, and these people still want to fucking play their little debater games. I've been riffing. Well, what do you think of this?
Well, it's like, I don't understand why it's so hard. Like, you can't just accept what someone says their existence is. So it seems so easy to me. It doesn't seem complicated. I mean, I don't have to understand it on a personal level. I mean, I can just believe what people say. But it's just that toxic masculinity type of a thing. And it bleeds over into everything else. So you've got women, like, arguing, oh, well, you know, your experiences, they don't match up to my woman experiences because, you know, you haven't been a woman as long, or whatever it is they think. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Their experiences are more intense. Compare my experiences to that of a trans woman. Like, I think that I don't want to compare and have it like an Olympics of oppression or anything, but I think that, God, had it been different for me, had I been born into one body, but I was, you know, and it wasn't the right one, I think it would be worse. So I don't understand why that's so hard for people. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's when I say the word privilege, I make sure to define it as I understand it, unearned advantage. Like, if I'm stepping in, like, if we're both approaching the same job and we got to collaborate on the job, but I have an unearned advantage, then it's a fair deal for me to do more of the job. Like, I should do 65% of the job, you know, and you do, you know, you should do the 35. You should do the smaller amount of the job because you have less of an advantage. Like, you're starting from a weaker point. And it's, I don't know, and again, it seems so damn simple to me, but, you know, folks are bugged out. They got their conventional wisdom, and that's why another post I recently made, stop debating. Stop debating. And I always put debating in quotes, because no one's actually ever doing that. People are just waiting for their turn to talk, and people that do tend to be debating, if they debate in public forums, you know, like fucking... Like, okay, great example. These bullshit Christian versus atheist debates where they get in front of some college campus and play debate. No. Both of those people are just a couple of book hustlers that are pandering to their side of the audience. That's it. They're there to sell books.
Yeah, I hate the debate thing. I'm like, when I post stuff on my wall, I'm like, I don't want to debate anybody. I'm like, I'm going to tell you how it is, and if you don't like it, you can just walk on by. And it's like, people are like, well, you know, you're not open to free speech or to the other point of view. I'm like, what other point of view? Yeah. How can you say, like, either hurt people or don't hurt people? Well, I'm like, don't hurt people. So how is there another point? How can you have the point of view of hurt people? And that's kind of how I see the whole debate thing.
Yeah, and it's like, free speech, nigga, I'm not in Congress. I didn't stop you from speaking from a government level. Like, all I did was delete your comment. Really, that comment you typed up, you should have highlighted it and copied it and then just pasted it in another comment section, and you're still speaking. Put that in air quotes. You know, after, fuck these fucking guys. Let me dance it forward. Now, this one, I'm pretty ignorant on the popular culture, but But this story talks about rape culture. And so there's ANTM, an individual involved with that organization called Bello Sanchez, said that he was raped in a Paris bathroom and cops did not investigate. And on this website, HollywoodLife.com, they have an image of this individual. And I don't know if they're... If this individual's just a very femme cis male or a non-conforming individual, I do not know. Very femme picture, though, of this person on the website with the story. And it says, former America's Next Top Model, which I hear with the young people is a very popular program, and they have a lot of fun. And so the America's Next Top Model contestant, Bello Sanchez, said he was raped in a Parisian nightclub ballroom bathroom on January 30th. And he said that police refused to investigate the case because of his race and sexuality. Jesus Christ. Now, it says watch his emotional confession here. And... And that video, I haven't been able to get that thing to load since I went to the deal. But they have further text. What started out as a fun night in Paris quickly turned into a living nightmare for Bello Sanchez, a 28-year-old individual involved with the America's Next Top Model situation. And this individual said they were raped by a complete stranger in a bathroom stall at Le Roche, a nightclub in Paris on January 30th. Not only that, but Bello also said that police refused to properly investigate because of his race, looks, and sexuality. He, quote, "If I was a little blonde white girl in Paris saying that happened to me, things would have been different," he confessed in the video, which, you know, and so, I know motherfuckers hate the nuance. Sometimes as people of color, we gotta be like, not always, actually. Like, go look at some of the most basic of white feminism, and you'll see cis hetero white women saying, no, they don't take my shit serious either. You know, unfortunately, Bello's story of police discrimination is one in a million. There are so many reports of similar subjects, and the reality star is using his rise to raise awareness and speak for those who may be too ashamed or timid. Why don't police look around as soon as they came? Why didn't they ask questions to the security guards? They were no help. Thankfully, there was at least one group in Bello's corner willing to step in and help. Jesus Christ. So the season 22, this is a really popular program. America's Next Top Model. The contestant reveals he was on the telephone for 9 hours with an advocacy group after the rape. He said that police refused to give him a proper rape kit, and only when the advocacy group stepped in did they finally comply 72 hours later. Bello, who reached stardom in the modeling industry thanks to his dark skin and naturally ice blue eyes, firmly believes cops discriminated against him in that moment. He hopes that by going public, authorities will have no choice but to launch an investigation. Hopefully justice will be served. And I'll try to keep up with this story. I mean, I don't know anything about this television program or this individual. Are you familiar with this story?
I'm not. And I I'm also sort of woefully unaware of what's going on television. But this is the first I've read of it. I don't know who the guy is.
I don't either. And it's a goddamn sad one. It's something I want to point out to folks is I did not read that verbatim at all. And you'll notice a lot of the awkward pauses is because I replaced the word with, like he claims with he said, because there's some stank on the word claim. There's some victim blaming and some assumption of dishonesty on the word claim. I'd also did that with the word alleged. All right, like I don't always read these stories verbatim because I find intentional oppression in the wording. All right.
I feel like they actually use the word alleged and claims more often with rape cases and other such cases that are like that, more than they even do it for any other kind of crime. Like they go out of their way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah, like if I was to like if I walk up to another assumed cis hetero male and just like smacked him in the face, they wouldn't say he claimed. They'd be like, this fucking guy smacked the shit out of this other dude. It was ridiculous.
Where was all the alleged and claims when the Nazi got punched? You know, I mean, it's alleged, right? Wasn't proven in a court of law yet.
Yeah. And you know what? And also, I mean, I watched the video. I saw the slow motion. There was a lot more like forearm and elbow than actual fist in that one. So that wasn't a punch. That was a, I don't know, what do they call it? An arm bar or whatever the hell they're doing on that.
Yeah, maybe it was staged. It was probably fake news.
That was fake news. I mean, CNN have holograms? Yeah, it wasn't even a real person. It was
start saying that for everything that like specifically white men have to experience and their so-called sad experiences. I'm going to say, oh well, you know, it's just alleged. That's what you claim. I'm going to start saying that.
Like, do what we did. Start videotaping every damn thing. And keep in mind, it's going to take over a decade before people even start pretending to take those videos serious. Run it all the way back to Rodney King. Really? What? Nah, run it all the way back to the damn civil rights protest with the water hoses, and people still got treated like shit from there. So start videotaping this stuff and then wait about 5 or 6 decades before we start taking some of those videos serious. All right, so get to it. Be proactive. Go, white man, go. This is Now, this is in my show notes just because I disagree with it, and I won't go through the whole thing. It's a, this is on a website called, potomaclocal.com. And it was, it's put up by an individual, their name looks like it says Urea Kaiser. And it's one of these things, let's just look at some of it, because I noticed what they don't like people saying. And something similar to this, and see people like, yo, it's not just the right, all right? Because something very similar to this was published in Mother Jones several months ago. And so here we go. If Harry Wiggins didn't single-handedly hand over the election to Jackson Miller, he certainly helped him along to victory. Wiggins, the chairman of Prince William's Democratic Committee on Tuesday, likened Miller, a long-serving Republican in the House of Delegates, past a...
Ooh!
Excuse me. My breathing patterns be off and I yawn. The committee likened Miller, a long-serving Republican in the House of Delegates, past Manassas... a city councilor and a former police officer in Arlington as Prince William County's to President Trump and called them both white supremacists. Residents, both black and white, have denounced his statement. Now, right there, right? Residents, both black and white. Exactly how many black people out of the full population of black people that heard this statement? But, you know, leave those numbers out. Just make it vague.
Just wait for the Trump survey.
And it'll be a real survey. A big, beautiful survey. quote, the official comment from the Prince William County Democratic chair may have just solidified my undecided vote for Mr. Miller. The name calling in national politics is bad enough. If Mr. Wiggins wishes to bring that style of politics to Prince William County, I will vote against this candidate every time, end quote, from James Johnson of Bristow, as that person posted to their Facebook. Wiggins' comments plunge our community deeper into the political divide, escalating our county into what many see the new national political status quo of an angry, polarized nation full of discontent and hate. Quote, it is a sad day when we begin to use words like bigot and white supremacist as default insults. Let me pause on that right there. It's still inside the quote, though. They're not insults, they're descriptors. Like, we're just saying what you're...
That's like me calling you blonde or brunette or whatever. Like, oh, you're insulting me.
Yeah.
What?
Like, Jesus Christ, like you could go in my old files and look at some of my my old rhymes and be like, oh, you see that right there? That's, like, you're being a misogynist right there. It's like, I can't be, like...
Walk around calling people... Yeah, you Christian. I mean, what's that? Right.
I mean, I seriously have, like, in my old rhymes, I have one called Devilish Angel, where I actually do the whole, you know, she ain't in the kitchen thing. I actually said something along those lines. I have to go back and hear it again. I actually did that. Like, that's, is that more, you're an educator, you know words better than I do. Is that more chauvinism, misogyny? What is that?
Well, say it again. What is it now? Give me the context again.
Let me try to remember the rhyme. I gotta pause this beat to help me do it.
All right.
I think you slipping, cuz. I think you tripping, bruh. And she ain't never spent a minute in the kitchen, cuz. That's it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on what else the context means. I don't know. I can't say just right off. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, what it's saying is because the record is called Devilish Angel, and because she doesn't even spend a minute in the kitchen, she's being like a devil.
Oh, right. So it sounds like it's like implying the opposite then, right? Like this is somebody else's perspective that she's a devil because she doesn't even cook or spend time doing those wifely things Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Or am I totally missing it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, and that that's in Jesus Christ. I think I wrote and recorded that like mid 2005.
So it's parodying the crappy ideals that people have, you know.
Yeah, because you know what? Like, I could write those rhymes all I want, but like when I was doing that, I was 21 years old, and that's really reflecting society around me because I was single, and also not only single, like not dating, but like also like I'd never lived with anybody before. Like Phoenix Kalita and I, this is the first time I've ever lived with someone. You know, like hell, I haven't even had roommates. Yeah, like,
wow.
Yeah.
Gotta have a long, sordid saga of roommates.
Oh, man, no, I had one and quit. And I was like, I'm not doing that anymore. That had to end. I mean, and it means you have to work a lot. I mean, because, you know, I'm poor. I'm at the blue-collar level. So, like, that just means you have to bust a lot of overtime hours to do it. But I had to do it because fuck roommates.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I've had some...
This is the way we tangent. Still inside the quote. So the name calling in international politics is bad enough. If Mr. Wiggins wishes to bring that style of politics to Prince William County, I will vote against this candidate every time. Oh, wow, I was inside the wrong one. Default insults and opinions bringing differing political views. Mr. Wiggins' comments on Delegate Miller were unfounded and shameful. They represent everything that we should be against. We can all share different views without destroying another person's character. I'll stop there. This piece goes on for a while. Because people that just want to say, I think there's too much political fide correctness. They say way too many words to just say that. Like, quit dragging it on.
Nah. Like, well, you can't actually talk about anyone and what they do and what that makes them because that's divisive.
And I was not going to add that to the show notes, but then not the very next, but as I kept going through the show prep shortly after that, one of the few next stories I came across, comonews.com, right? I used to live in Washington State, love Como News. Headline, self-avowed white supremacist ordered held on $250,000 bail in violent armed robbery case. Now, calls himself a white supremacist, and it's playing an ad. Stop that. Stop playing ads.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy the product. It's like, all right, people steal. Capitalism exists. Bills exist. Consumerism exists. You know, so sometimes you gotta rob somebody. And, but he's a self-avowed white supremacist. These folks exist. And if he is or was registered to vote or whenever he gets out of prison, and if he gets his voting rights restored, what party is he going to vote for? He's going to go run to them Democrats? Shit, no. And it's not like the Democrats don't do shit that upholds white supremacy in any and every other ism you could think of. But the Republicans are honest about it, loud about it. They've been running on the Southern strategy. And like,
do you notice though that like even the way that article portrays him, I swear, it's about supremacists. It's like, okay,
can you bring it back a couple sentences? Your audio went robot for a second there.
Oh yeah, I was just saying, you know, the way they present him as a self-avowed white supremacist, it doesn't even like. I mean, it sounds horrible, but like it doesn't even sound in the same way that they present people that are black. So, like, you know, the way that they show them, the way that they speak about them, and it doesn't carry the same weight at all. It's like, oh, he just happens to be this self-avowed white supremacist. Well, whatever. We're glad he's off the streets, but all they really care about is the capitalist aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah, you messed with the money. Now you've just helped me to tangent to gain. Cause I was telling somebody it was in a thread I made about I think it was my thread about poverty and foster care, and that just ended up being a very active thread. A lot of good comments in there. Thanks, folks, for getting involved. And I was talking about Joe Finazzo. Yeah, I say his name on the program. I don't give a shit. And Joe Finazzo was working for our corporation, chain of restaurants. And as soon as he got hired, he hired in as an assistant general manager. First thing that happened, he got two sexual harassments in 1 week. They let it ride because that's the fucking world we live in. You know, so he's around for a couple of months, and they promote him to general manager. First thing he does is general manager, two sexual harassments in 1 week. All right, and then this guy just continues to fuck up. Like, it's spring season, and he fails so hard at, with the catering department that he gets his location kicked off the wedding list. So all that money that comes from catering weddings can't come in. He's fucking up that money. And so that's when management steps in and tries to get him to get his shit together. You know, he has customers leaving. And then he got another sexual harassment, but this one extra didn't matter because it was from a black woman that didn't even work with the company. She worked at the bank down the street. And he left a note, like, in her bag after he served her, and he put a dessert in there, and he wrote, "Sweet chocolate, just like you," so she reported him for sexual harassment to the company from outside the company, you know, years go by of this. Like, he's doing this shit from, from 2000, Jesus Christ, I think he came in early 2007, but he was already in 2006, and this is just the shit he's on. And he didn't get fired until late 2009, when he got caught on camera with another person running a scam to steal money from the registers, because all they care about is the capitalism of it. You have all these sexual harassments, you can have all these fuck-ups, but we catch you messing with the money directly, then you gotta go.
Yeah, that got me into a conversation with my spousal unit last night because of that whole concept. So you got conversations happening at home, too.
Oh, from that thread?
Yeah. Because it reminded me of the fact that when I lived in Los Angeles, I worked at a supermarket, but I worked different times, once when I was 16 and once when I was, like, I don't know, 18, but different locations. So one was in Glassell Park in Los Angeles, which is, you know, lower income area, mostly Mexican. And then in Los Feliz, which is, you know, sort of now being really highly gentrified, but then it was pretty mellow, white area, lots of movie stars types of thing. The way that they kept that store was all clean and shiny, and the way they treated you was, well, not the employees, but the way they treated the customers was more friendly. But down in Glassell Park, it was dirty, it wasn't kept up, they were rude. It was I knew it then. Like, the oppression that happens based on capitalism and race is just really obvious.
Yeah, that's like with in Florida, the I know it's not just in Florida, but the grocery store chain Winn-Dixie, and I just assumed, because where I first lived, again, like when I started out there, you know, my fucking wage was $6.75 an hour, so like fucking clearly, like I started a, you know, what would be considered a lower level, and I just assumed Winn-Dixie was just filthy, and that's just what it was. Like, there were two Winn-Dixie locations on that side of town, and they were just gross, and you only went in there if you had no other choice, if there's a wicked lightning storm and you just gotta rush in and out and do what you gotta do and get home. Other than that, you try to go to the other side of town and go to a different store. And then so years go by, right? This is 2004 when I moved to Florida and started that wage. And then, you know, you work, you get raises, you get a little promotion here and there. You get some bonuses. And then then we eventually live in this other part of Orlando further east and in a nice little cul-de-sac corner. And, one day, we're just kind of out doing the stuff. I think we're going to like Home Depot or Lowe's. And they're like, ah, shit, there's a Winn-Dixie here. Let's, stop and get, like, some fucking, ribs and hot dogs for the kids and fucking barbecue up some shit. Go inside this Winn-Dixie. It is fucking crispy. It is like a Barbie's dream house in that motherfucker.
Yep.
It was fucking lovely in there.
It's so gross. And, I mean, just the whole concept. And it's so obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, that's like, also, back to Orlando again, I talk like I'm still living there. Like, if you're headed west, right, further east, it's fancy, gets a little less fancy, gets to where, like, what I could afford to live in before I left, then it gets to what I could afford to live in when I was just getting there, and then and I love it how you literally pass downtown and you literally cross the railroad tracks and you're on the west side, the black people side, and the first thing you notice is, fuck, these roads are full of potholes. And then like me, like I quit caring about driving a vehicle in early 2010, so I got a bicycle. And I'm like, fuck, even if you're not with the potholes, the sidewalk is a pile of shit. There's no bike lane. It's fucked up as soon as you cross those railroad tracks.
Yeah, on a bike, it's even worse. I know.
Oh, man.
That's how I got around in Los Angeles. Most of the time I lived there was either walking or biking or taking the public transit.
God. Oh, and where we live now, right? Like, where we live, okay, the suburb as a whole is out of our tax bracket. But, Phoenix looked around, and she found a nice little blue-collar corner apartment complex. And it's a small apartment complex. I think there's only, like, 5 buildings. Like, the parking lot is only one road. There aren't even any turns. Like, it's a really small complex. And so we got this little area that, little spot that we can afford out here in this suburb. And the rest of this shit is just like, I guess what folks would call middle class to upper middle class. And I even see some homes that we pass by when driving. And I'm like, I would consider them rich. Like, I don't even give a shit how much they make. Looking at how they live from the outside, that shit looks like rich to me. And, there's very few sidewalks. There's no bus stops. No bus route comes through here. And you know why? Because they don't want people out here walking, because you people that can't afford to drive shouldn't be here. People that can't afford to transport in a way higher than a bicycle shouldn't afford to be here. It's like a certain way of keeping folks out. And then also the whole, we don't want to pay taxes to have a sidewalk built type of shit. Yeah. Now, this is one of those ones where, how I told you we don't do everything that's in the show notes, right? Like, we skip over some ones. Like, this one, I'm just going to give folks the headline. And I don't have this on, I don't have the story, recovered on our website yet. But, former cop pleads guilty to child sex crime, and you've been tuning into the Wine Cellar for, like, over 2 years. Like, folks know, the way I see it, and Phoenix is on board with me, I think every rapist is a serial rapist. I see this totally. Guy. Yeah. Like, I never think.
I mean, they're going to do it just once.
Yeah, right? And this guy with what? Like, I'm seeing some gray in his mustache. He looks fairly aged, what, maybe late 50s or so, I don't know. And, he's probably, who knows how long he's just been raping children or adults as well. Like, this one is, child rape. The individual is now 14. See, and I just said I didn't want to go into the details.
The details are pretty awful.
Yeah, like the victim got pregnant. You know, it's fucking terrible. And every time I post one of these, I put it under a category on WineCellarMedia.com, hashtag good cops. So you want to, like, and I have a nice little compilation going there now. Like, if folks want to, you know, see what is not being covered. Because, like, I mean, killer cops aren't even being covered anymore. That's just not hot anymore. It doesn't get the clicks. But, like, I don't think rapist cops will ever be thoroughly covered. I think Huffington Post did, like, one piece on them. And that was only because of how much traction the Jeremy Holtzclaw story was getting. Like, other than that, no one regularly covers this. I have to find these stories on, like, My Fox 8 and, you know, WHBZY. You know, like, I can never
find... Because it was probably an accident, you know. Like, oops. I didn't really mean that.
Yeah, oops.
Like, that's these rapists. Oops. Sorry.
Yeah, didn't mean to. Yeah, and, you know, and, like, yeah, again, on this...
It just happened, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and I get it.
I feel bad.
Like, I probably libel myself on this program because I just say it, you know, like fucking Spanaway Lake High School. Like, I'm sure it's a whole lot of motherfuckers, but I know for damn sure that 2001 football team, that's a group of fucking rapists. Robert Lee Pilcher III from Spanaway, Washington State, that motherfucker's a rapist. Todd Jeffrey Foster from Central Florida, that motherfucker's a rapist. I forgot his last name. Ben Kyle... Ah, fuck, I forgot that motherfucker. I know his first and middle name are Benjamin and Kyle, and I heard him say out loud, quote, "Bitches fucking love that shit, bro," when they were talking about rape. You know, like, fucking... I get it. I say these motherfuckers' names on the program, and motherfuckers come at me legally, but, nigga, you are what you are, and I'm not gonna not say it. You're a fucking rapist. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, what's this one? Also, another one, right? A police officer and Boy Scout leader arrested for rape. All right? Like, that's going on. Aaron Robertson, 28 years old, fucking Boy Scout leader and a rapist. Garen goddamn T, a serial rapist.
Now, yeah, they even said that there were numbers of unknown victims.
Jeez. Now, now, I had made a post in the social networks asking if anybody had seen a film called Rough Night, because I hadn't seen it. I looked in Hulu, I looked in Netflix, couldn't find it. I don't know if it's too new. I tend to not know what's going on. I'm good at that. And this came across my deal. It came up in my sex workers' rights. I don't know how, because, like, looking at this, like, I don't see the keywords popping up anywhere. Oh, here it is. Yeah, sex workers. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, this came up in my sex workers' rights feed. And it's on refinery29.com. And it says, why Rough Night has people up in arms. And no need to go through the whole thing. It's a movie with some a couple of actors' names that I recognize. I don't put gender on actor. Actor, actress, just if you're acting, nigga, you acting. And, right, like, I don't, the same thing with waiter, waitress, nigga, you waiting, you know, proletariat.
Yeah.
And, fucking, they have the joke in there where they killed a sex worker, and that's just, like, a running joke throughout the whole film, and I guess, like, they have them in the trunk of the car or whatever the hell. And, like, I remember, like, that was why, I just turned off Family Guy and unsubscribed from it in my DVR box when I used to have a cable. Because, like, they had that joke running through a whole episode. And this was before I even knew the term sex worker. I was still saying the word prostitute at this time. But there was something about this joke that just, it fucked with my head. Because it's like, no, that really happens. Like, that shit's not funny. Like, I was talking to Michael Wright on another program, where I was like, you know, you gotta monitor jokes, because fucking Jim Crow was a joke on, you know, in the old minstrel shows when before 13th Amendment slavery, when it was just plain old plantation slavery, Jim Crow was a joke about a black man who was always where he wasn't supposed to be. So monitor jokes, because they could become public policy. This one, I say fuck that to the joke, because it's about an actual reality that sex workers' lives don't matter. I don't know. Are you familiar with this film? Have you heard of it? Seen it?
First time I heard of it was when I saw your post the other day.
Oh. Okay.
So I had Scarlett Johansson on there, and I was like, well, you know, people, you could stop being a disappointment at some point, but I guess not. Depressing.
Yeah, like I could I mean, I'll watch it to review it and comment on it. You know, I mean, you know, I'll invest in that. Like, I'll pull it straight from the wine cellar fund and just invest in it and just to bring that back to folks so that I can have like a first-hand review instead of just reading something.
Well, I'm glad that you posted something about it, because I mean, I might have read, sometimes I watch movies, I don't have any idea what they're about before I watch them. And then all of a sudden I'm in the middle of it and I'm like, Ross, and he'll say, do we need to turn this off? I'm like, uh-huh, yep, it's gotta go. So, and he's actually gotten pretty good at, he's like, we need to not watch this. So he actually has been initiating now, realizing the stuff that he's learned from me, you know, what needs to go and what's not okay. So.
Yeah. Phoenix and I, we watch shit straight through and just critique the hell out of it. It's, and that's just what we do. But then when I think about it, like, that goes back to with my biological mother, like, we'll be watching stuff and critiquing it. Like, that's how I found out, like, what catcalling was and how that was fucked up by just watching programs with my biological mother. Or, you know, the colorism conversation. Like, she let me watch Jungle Fever with her, and you got all the black women in the room talking about colorism and how the brothers these days want bright light and right next to white. I'll never forget that quote. You know, and I'll do the same thing. Like, the 8-year-old right now, he's not, it's too advanced for him, because Phoenix is sick a lot, and so the adults that have been most involved in raising him have essentially been raising him to, basically, I have a little 8-year-old alt-writer in this apartment.
Oh, like, good God.
Yeah, like, he is, like, he'll just make shit up, too. And to the point of, and he'll say it so plainly, you'll believe him, that he must have, you know, saw a YouTube news clip or something about a place called Los Santos, and there's a lot of crime there, and that's why we need to build a wall. But he just made that shit up, because he's racist. Like, he actually is. It's bugged out, you know. It is fucking bugged out. Cause what folks might like, Phoenix recently shared her abortion story. Did you hear that clip?
I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah, and I think something that may have gone under folks' radar, cause it's not like she was talking that fast, but you may miss a line. Who knows? And she said, you know, you want to get this abortion because you can't afford to have another kid from being raped by a cop. The word "another" is very important.
I that did not escape my notice.
Yeah, and that's the 8-year-old, and right. Yeah, and so, and she was raped by a white cop, and you know, because like, her bloodline is nothing but women of color being raped by white men, which is why she's the complexion she is now. And he just came out straight up white. And the people that adopted her, they're Polish white, and they were super excited to see that baby come out. And because she's very sick with the histoplasmosis, they just been trying to make him a little white supremacist these past 8 years. And they've done a great job, and we're working damn hard to reverse it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard. It is hard with kids. Well, I don't know how. I mean, I think if you still have that influence on the other side, yeah, it's even harder. But I would think kids are more receptive, because I can still remember the stuff that adults said in front of me, when I was a kid, and me repeating things but not really understanding. And but I totally remember all of it. You know, so I think that, you know, you have conversations with kids, and, you know, I do it in my classroom. You know, it happened with about gender the other day, and the kids were shocked. They're like, I said, you know, if you're a boy or a girl or a different gender, and they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, there are lots of other genders, and, you know, different cultures have lots of genders, and it's not even an issue. And they were just like shocked, because he thought that he was upset because I cut my hair. So, like, I wasn't supposed to have short hair because I'm a girl, and only boys should have short hair. And it, like, so we had this huge classroom conversation about this. So, like, I think when you say things to kids, they hear it. It doesn't always get applied right away. But it's good to have adults around saying the words that they need to hear, even if it's not going to be applied for a while. I mean, I didn't do all the racist stuff that I saw, but I did some of it. So I'm sure that those kids, that they heard the truth from someone once, it's going to matter.
Man, and with him, that's why it's important that Catherine, you know, because she's local. She lives she doesn't live near us, but, you know, she hops on the train and comes down every couple of months. And that's why it's important to have her talk to him, because he, you know, I'll just say he's a white supremacist. He's an 8-year-old white supremacist. So, and the, you know, those people in their 70s that have been training him, they trained him well. And so he's not receptive to what we say much at all. But when Catherine comes down, he is, because she's incredibly pale white. She says the exact same things we're saying, but when she does, he actually listens.
Right.
Yeah, it is some tough shit, I'll tell you what.
Representation matters.
Yeah. All right, there we go. All right, and ran into an hour and 15 minutes. WineCellarMedia.com, PayPal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And see, folks have, like, folks that have been tuning into the program, they've heard me, like, when I'm reading folks commenting in the Facebook chat space and whatnot, and I'm like, oh, Becker Loco just said this. Oh, but Becker Loco said, oh, Becker Loco left a link to this. Let's see what that is. All right, and that's who you just heard on this episode right here. And if you ever checked out the Social Justice Bullies program, that's also who you heard helping out with the introduction to that. Becker Loco read what Ricky wrote for the introduction to Social Justice Bullies. All right, so thank you coming on, hanging out.
Oh, no problem. It's good. I'm actually sitting here knitting, by the way. Totally.
Oh yeah, Phoenix Kalita has your. You gave her some fancy yarn.
Oh, good. I tell her I am working on the technique for that crazy shit. I mean, it's like the Tunisian crochet. It's wild. I do not know how to do it, but I am learning.
I have no idea what's going on there. I just know that I go through my whole day, right, go to work, do my little chores and whatnot, you know, get things set up, make sure that the 8-year-old isn't playing Xbox before he had dinner, because that's just too much Xbox. And then I go to sit down in the chair, and there's yarn and hooks and stuff in the chair. And, like, I just want to sit in the chair. And I don't want to move them because I don't know if she's working on something and I'm going to mess it up if I move it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my whole house is kind of covered with stuff like that. Whole thing.
Oh yeah, it'll be on the the pink one will be in the chair, the blue one will be in the kitchen table, a black one will be on the computer chair, which are just kitchen table chairs at the computer. Now, you just never know what's where. But
yes, the project bag is really just this deceptive bag of holding. It's an interdimensional space. There's a lot in there. Every single one of them. They're all over my house.
Yeah, right. And then right before we go, like you have that you've been using your microphone with your headset for gaming.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, do you think that this program, The Wine Cellar, that we represent ethics in gaming journalism?
Actually, yeah, I would be interested in listening to segments on stuff with games. You're just fooling with me, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't even I haven't played the Xbox in months. And before I moved here, I only played it once a year. Like, I purchased that thing, and I only played it once a year, like, mid-August. I'll jump on, play it for, like, 4 hours, though, a pretty long time. Like, I'll go on for, like, 4 hours and then put it away for the rest of the year.
I'm fancy. I play on my computer.
Oh!
I play MMORPGs. I can't remember what the hell that stands for. I don't know. It's like millions of people playing the same damn game in the same space, you know? So, like, World of Warcraft, I'm sure you've heard of that.
I think I know the name.
Yeah, they even made a movie. There's even a movie, a World of Warcraft movie.
Hmm.
And that's actually where I met the spouse. So, like, I married this, avatar. No.
Ah.
Yes, I was a lonely troll, and, you know, he was a tauren. I don't know. It's weird. But that's what we did.
Yeah, I'm so preoccupied with trying not to be a creep that the first time Phoenix, like, subtly got at me, I, like, pretended not to notice it and changed the subject. Like she sent a message. She was like, I've been looking at your pictures and talking to you, and I'm feeling some type of way. And I was like, oh man, look at this thing this MRA said. This is bullshit, man.
Yeah, I actually, he and I were talking, and I was about to get a divorce, and I said, so, I'm going hiking up at this state park, and I'm gonna be alone. And he's like, so it wouldn't be terrible if I showed up there? And I said, not at all. So that's how it all started. And we went hiking.
Right, and what, like,
in the woods.
Yeah, like, yeah,
that's where all the good stuff happens, in the woods.
Oh man, this program's getting hardcore. I don't know what's going on anymore. WineCellarMedia.com. The program used to be Father Teresa's Wine Cellar. Now it's the Black Podcast with Wine Cellar Media, because I figure more people are searching the word black than they're searching Father Teresa. That'll probably get more clicks that way. And that's been Becker Loco hanging out, knitting, getting haircuts, and I cut my hair too, just because my hairline's receding, so I cut it bald. But I did something different because I didn't know what to do with my beard. Like, since I work in the warehouse now, I don't have to shave, so I let the beard get to a point where I look like a hotep, and I was like, and I cut it down to a clan stash. Because that's funny to me. Because then, I walk up to folks, and, you know, like, if somebody offers me customer service, and they're like, are you finding everything you need, sir? Hold on, where's the paper plates? Yeah, because I can. Like, I get to do that. I'm free to talk however I feel, so I can talk like that. That's real freedom of speech. All right, we're dragging on for no reason. All right, you hang in there. I'm going to wrap up taking care of this household so that I can have my adult beverage.
All right. I already have mine. Good luck.
All right. Peace.
All right.
Bye.
Peace. Bye.
All right. And stop on the podcast.